Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Prada, and joining me to break down week five of the NFL season, Austin Tark, James Bitter. Guys, how we doing?
Fantastic.
Are you sure you're doing outstanding, James?
4-0 of my best bets. What could be wrong?
That's true.
Pink eye, maybe.
Yeah. James is 4-0. Austin in the winner's circle at 1-3. Austin, you went 5-0 last week.
I did. I had quite the week. Can I also toot our horn? I tweeted it last night. Hopefully everyone else checked it out. We are 41 for 60, 68% on all of our bets. I mean, that is an unreal percentage that we're hitting.
Yeah, we're
balling. And as I said, what are you doing if you aren't listening?
Well, I would hope that if you are listening, you're fading my best bets. Which, James, turn your camera off. Idiot. And I hope you're fading my best bets. I am 0-4. I'm on the Rams -2.5 tonight. So if this is out by the time that game starts, rush to your book and absolutely jam the Seahawks. But I will have another best bet in there. I'm currently kind of still deliberating, but I'll have it figured out in about 2 minutes. Austin, it looked like James had to mute himself real quick. Austin, any big reaction to last week's games?
Well, we were talking about beforehand the New York parlay, which I hit, betting the Jets money line and Giants money line. That was more just excitement for me. But hey, the biggest reaction is these Cardinals, the last undefeated team in the league, they went and beat the hell out of the Rams. They completely control that game. That offense looks incredible. And if Kyler Murray is going to stay healthy this season, they are damn dangerous.
Yeah, full agreement. That was like a slaughtering. They dominated every facet of that game. For me, it was awesome. That Sunday night game was pretty cool. Glad it came down to the wire. But I thought Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels looked really, really good. The play calling on some of those drives that when they just decided they couldn't run the ball anymore was incredible. Just getting all those receivers open and all like that and all the stuff like that. And then Mac Jones was just hitting his guys. I don't think that he's like the most talented rookie in this class. And like, I don't really think it's particular, like, I don't think he's close to the top, but he by far has the highest floor right now. And so I just thought it was interesting to see.
They should not have kicked though. That was a bad decision to kick that field goal.
That was stupid. In the rain, in the wind.
And even then you'd be giving the ball back to Brady with too much time and a timeout. Yeah. I just thought it was a bad decision.
Al Michaels doing his best to jinx it. Dude had Tampa Bay money line or in a parlay or something.
Got like his that teaser sure. legs.
Yeah. We ready to hit best bets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. James is in the lead 4-0. So
4-0.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is.
Well done, James.
Thanks, guys.
All right. The slobber fest ends here. we're going to we're going to Cincinnati. Where James,
Cincinnati.
You like the Packers -3 as your best bet. Go into it.
It's a bit of a square play, but I just don't like this Bengals team. I think 3 is a little short of where it should be. So to start, Rodgers is 54-29. ATS is a one-score favorite, which stands for this game. The look-ahead line was 6, and now it's 3. Just too much over adjustment. I think the Bengals are an incredibly fraudulent 3-1 team. I mean, they should have been down 21-0 last game to the Jags and lost at home against clearly the worst team in the NFL. Their other wins came against the Steelers, which was actually a pretty impressive win, but really fortunate week 1-2 against the Vikings. They could easily be 1-3-4 for like a player or two here and there. Their defense is actually 6 in DVOA, but if you look at who they've played, they've played three of the 8 worst offenses, and Minnesota, who's currently at 14. So I think all the metrics for this Bengals team are skewed right now. And just the 3-1 record is not where they should be. Their win total coming into the season was 6.5. They are overperforming right now, but I think they come back down to earth here. Right now, Green Bay is 8th DVOA offense. And I just don't see how the Bengals get any stops here. Yes, there will be some injuries in the Green Bay secondary, which is a little scary because Burrow and those receivers can get their yards at times and get their scores. But overall, I just think Green Bay scores too much here. And this does like seem like a flat spot for most teams. But if you look at the years past under LaFleur, the Packers do not let down in games like this. They go pedal to the metal and they usually blow these teams out. So I think the Pack win by 7+.
Well, James just hit on a lot of things that I like in this game, but for the total perspective, particularly, I mean, as he mentioned, this Bengals defense has not faced many good offenses. So I do think the Packers are going to be able to get theirs. But on the other side, it's a good matchup for the Bengals offensively. Packers are 25th in defensive rating, and that's playing weak offenses like the Saints, Lions, and the Steelers. Bengals are also going to get T. Higgins back in this game. I think the Bengals will be able to get theirs, and I think the Packers will as well. But from a side perspective, the injuries for the Packers are just scaring me off a little bit too much. They have an O-lineman, Elgton Jenkins is out, and the Bengals have had a solid pass rush to start this year so far. And then, as James mentioned, Jaire Alexander is also hurt, which I heard he might even miss the entire season because he might get shoulder surgery. And then Preston Smith is also hurt. So I pass from this a side perspective, but I'll definitely be on this total, definitely taking the over. If it's under 51, 51 is a key number. I love 50.5 here.
Yeah, they aren't outright likes for me, but I do definitely lean that way on the total. I don't know. The Bengals are overperforming. So now, and like in the NFL, it's just like a good time to kind of fade the Bengals, but it's something about them. It's like, I'm not in my right mind going to back Zach Taylor against Aaron Rodgers. That's just not something I would like to do. But I've got no real qualms with the Packers pick, so I'm all for it. Austin, your best bet is
Kansas City Sunday night.
So we're going to Kansas City. You're taking the Chiefs. We've got a -2.5. It's currently 3 right now. I'd imagine you would play that too, but Tell us why.
Yeah, so it's 3, but it's 3 even +100 right here. So I wouldn't be surprised if this number does fall back down to 2.5. Just definitely keep refreshing your book and see if you can get it. Under 3 just seems very valuable here from the Chiefs. We saw this game last year in the playoffs in the same exact venue, and now we're getting a better price. That was a game in which Mahomes was hurt and the Chiefs O-line was injured. The Chiefs controlled that game, and now we're getting a better price here for a Chiefs team that I think is improved and very easily could be 4-0. And if that was the case, we'd have an even a much bigger line here in this game. So we're betting the Chiefs here mainly for their offense. This particular unit, I think, is going to rank as one of the best all time. And they've even had multiple turnover mistakes in a lot of their games, which could lead to even more offensive production. Chiefs have also notoriously had success against this Buffalo team. And don't get me wrong, I do like this Buffalo defense this year, but this is just too big of a step up in competition. Their stats are overrated. They're inflated. And I just believe that the defense could be overrated. They face Big Ben, Taylor Heineke, Jacoby Brissett, Davis Mills. This Chiefs offense just should be able to have their way with them. Not to mention they have defensive injuries. Matt Milano, Poirier's hurt. Even Trey White is supposed to play, but he's not 100%. I just think that Chiefs are going to be able to get theirs. And this game's probably going to come down to Josh Allen. And he's going to need to keep up with this Kansas City team. And he just still hasn't been up to the standard that he was playing last season. And he's going to need an elite performance to win this game. I think anything under a field goal, we have the better team. We have the better side. And we're getting them at home under a field goal. I just think Chiefs are a great play.
Would you say there is anything to the notion that like Brian Daboll hasn't necessarily called the good plays yet?
No, I mean, I mean, in a game like last week, what was there really to expose against that Texans team? But the Chiefs just saw this team last year in the playoffs. I don't know what Dable's going to pull out of the hat that he's practiced in the offseason. I mean, I get what you're saying, but even then, I'm betting on the Chiefs offense here. I know how bad this Chiefs defense is, and I do think the Bills are going to be able to get theirs. But the Chiefs have also faced 3 of the top 10 offenses this season. It's not like the Bills are going to come in as some juggernaut that they're not prepared for.
Oh, I mean, I think the Bills have I'd argue they have a top 5, top 3 offense in football.
Agreed. But I'm saying that they've faced similar level of play already with the Browns, Ravens, and Chargers. Even if the Bills are slightly a bit better, you can't say that the Bills have faced anything close to an offense like the Chiefs yet.
Oh yeah, I would agree there. For me, it's Travis Kelce props. He absolutely roasted the Bills defense in a playoff game last year. And I like, they need Milano to play. I forget whether Milano played or not, but I think he did. And like, did that too. That was the reason for like, everyone's betting the Bills. Like he's going to be able to guard Kelce. And then it just didn't happen. Like Kelce still did whatever the hell he wanted. James, what are your thoughts here?
I definitely lean to the Chiefs. It's a borderline bet for me. If it gets back down to 2.5, I probably will. I think my angle here is Chiefs team total over. I think if you like the Chiefs, you have to assume they're scoring here. That defense is not going to magically fix itself, especially against one of the better offenses in the entire league. I'm guessing it'll probably be in the neighborhood of 29.5 to 30.5 based on the total. Anything under 31 is a like for me on that total.
Yeah, I'll hit that. As I said before, my best bet is the Rams. But I figure I'll have another one, just give people more ammunition for the weekend. And I'm going to lay the 3 with the Panthers. And there are a couple matchup advantages that I think they have, but it's got to do with how I think the team bounces back from their first big kind of like adversity they've had to face all year. So they just got cleaned up by the Cowboys, which Cowboys beat them worse than what the final score indicates. And the Panthers were in the news this week because they picked up Stephon Gilmore. Now, he's not going to play this week, but I think that picking him up is a huge boost to kind of like motivation and morale for the team. And this line has come down too. And so they also have CJ Henderson. And he only played 30% of snaps last week, but that number is expected to go up this week. And the Eagles are coming off a good week of offensive output against a horrible Chiefs defense. And I think and they're going to have a way more difficult time doing that against the Panthers. I think that what Joe Brady does on offense and just being able to create like easy throws and easy plays for Sam Darnold has been like, one could argue it's miracle work, but, and then on top of that, Christian McCaffrey, I think has been upgraded to probable. And that I think I saw an Adam Schefter tweet that it's expected to play. I forget the wording, but, so they're getting weapons back. I think they are going to have an easier time defensively this week, and they're only laying 3 against, frankly, like I was kind of pro Eagles coming into the year, but they've largely disappointed me. Give me the Panthers -3. James, what do you think?
So I actually bet the Eagles +4.5, but now it's down to 3. Number. I think it's unplayable. It was a good play. I like the CLV on that, but for me, the same reason is the Bengals game. I'm also leaning the Eagles way. I just think the Panthers are really fraudulent 3-1 team. I mean, their 3 wins are against 4 of the worst teams in the NFL. I still think they're a good team, good defense, but I think the Eagles come out with a pretty good game plan after just getting run off the field the last 2 weeks. I don't think Carolina can do what Kansas City and Dallas do in terms of throwing the ball downfield and beating that secondary like we saw the last 2 weeks. I just think the Eagles keep it close here, so I lean there that way +3.
I don't know, Chaz. I thought you had a pretty good handicap. I'm pretty mixed on the game. I mean, for this part, I'm still with James. I think the Panthers are pretty fraudulent. Their defense is pretty much only beat up on bad quarterbacks. I was somewhat impressed with Hurts last week. I know they were playing the worst defense in the league, but they were able to keep up at least in the first half offensively with the Chiefs. And the Eagles O-line is also getting healthier this week, which I think will be very important with the Panthers having a pretty strong defensive line. And the Eagles defense for this point has looked pretty bad, but they've been exposed by the number 1 and 2 offenses in the league. So I'm not going to completely overreact to their defensive struggles. I understand what you said about Joe Brady, but I just don't really fear Sam Darnold coming in and lighting it up. I do expect the Eagles to fight here with them, but at 3 points, I can't take the Eagles, especially since this line's dropped too much. So it's a lean for me. Interesting to see where this game goes, because I'm surprised if McCaffrey is questionable now and he does play in this game that this line has dropped, because he certainly does have some value for this Panthers team.
All right. Just to quickly recap, James, leader in the clubhouse, 4-0, is taking the Packers -3 as his best bet. Austin is on the Chiefs -2.5. And because I'm 0-4, I decided to give everyone 2 best bets this week. And so Rams minus Ram. I'm a generous guy. What can I say? Rams -2.5 and the Panthers -3 for me. Wow, we are so chalky. That's disgusting. Oh, we're so boned. Before we get into the rest of the week's games, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. All right, big thanks to Anchor.
And Pocket Casts.
Oh, yeah. Quick shout out to my boy, Greg. I don't even know if Greg listens, but there's got to be some like weird like Twitter, like, I don't know, algorithm. And dude's just dancing on other podcast providers' graves. And I love it. I'm here for it. So shout out my boy, Greg. The London game, the New York Jets. Now only getting 2.5 points. Line has moved quite a bit. They're traveling alongside the Atlanta Falcons to play in London. And the Falcons, as I said, are laying 2.5. Someone want to grab the total for me? 45. Total's at 45. Austin, I'll kick it to you to start. Are we flying high after last week with our Jets, Jets?
Well, I'm definitely going to be on the total. That is my like in this play. And as resident podcast Jets fan on this podcast, I can't believe that it is a 2.5 point spread, but we'll get into the game and the game handicap when I hear James's, what he has to say. But as far as the total, this Jets defense was on the field last week for 93 plays, an all-time high. Fatigue absolutely has to set in for this defense, especially on the travel trip to London. The loss of Marcus May last week wasn't truly apparent because of the lack of the Titans receivers that they had. In addition to this, they picked up a couple other secondary injuries as well. A couple other safeties are hurt on the injury report this week. So this defense is not getting any healthier. Falcons should be able to take advantage of this, especially because their offense finally looked a little bit better against a bad Washington defense last week. They do have some injuries, which I just learned about. I'll let James mention that. But even then, I still think that this total is too low, especially because Atlanta's defense is just as bad. If not, I think they are worse than the Jets beat last week. Jets offense should continue to look a little better, especially because Zach Wilson proved that when he's not under pressure, he can make a throw or two, and he makes some good deep throws. And the Falcons, just like the Titans, do not have a very good pass rush. So this is a fade against both defenses. I think both offenses are going to be able to get theirs. And with a total as low as this, I just think the over is very valuable. As far as a side, I'll kick it to James.
Yeah, we had a little disagreement. Austin wanted to be on the Falcons until he heard that Russell Gage and Calvin Ridley were out. Yeah. So just like last week when the Titans were down there, number one and two receivers, the Jets won. Falcons are down there, number one and two receivers. The Jets are winning again. It's not really that hot. They're only +2.5 now. I just don't think the Falcons are good at all. I mean, we saw last week that defense got shredded by Taylor Heinicke. I mean, honestly, that was just – I cannot believe there were 64 points in that matchup. And, like, it's for that reason, I also bet the over. So I like the Jets here. I like the over. I mean, most of this is just a fade against the Falcons. I think they're really bad. A lot of Austin's points are good. Yes, the Jets played 93 snaps last week on defense, which is just insane. But I don't think the Falcons really have the weapons, especially down their number one two receivers, to just kind of blow the Jets out of the water. And I think the Jets can hang around here. I actually kind of trust Zach Wilson. He was pretty clutch last week. So I think this ends up being a pretty close game. I bet it 3 earlier, so I'm pretty happy about the number now. 2.5, I still kind of like the Jets.
I want to be able to talk myself into the over. But I'm going to be honest, Zach Wilson did not look good last week. He
made a couple of nice throws.
Yeah,
ADR bombs.
He also got very lucky on the end zone pass to Jameson Crowder, which, like, that ball should have been picked and taken to the house. And then, I don't know. It's that because of how bad the O-line is, like, it's very – they just feel very susceptible to – like negative plays, and it kind of scares me off of it a little. And then like the Falcons are just, it's, you know what, I will say Matt Ryan stuck his hand out of the grave a little bit last week. So I will give him credit for that, but it's just not an exciting offense. And I was far more impressed by the Jets defense than I was the Jets offense. Like, oh, those, that line, Quincy Williams, dude was flying around. He was dominating Derrick Henry. It was very impressive. But so that's just enough to keep me off it. It'll probably mean I don't have to wake up super early in the morning too. So that'll be kind of nice. I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious to see if this number moves even more with all the wide receiver news. But and maybe if the total comes down, then I'll be able to go grab a better number on the over. But for now, not for me.
James, you're giving me 2.5 if we bet.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take Atlanta.
All right. Deal.
Like we don't have a bet yet. I don't know if we'll have another one on this pod. I just can't possibly. I'm not ready to for the Jets. I do think the Falcons suck, but I'm just not ready to take the Falcons, the Jets at under a field goal. That's just not who they are. This isn't in their blood that they should come out and just win games. They're a team that makes upsets and makes great covers. And I'm a resident Jets taker. I can't take the Jets here. And I know my squad, fly Falcons fly. Also, we looked it up. London has like 30 different breeds of Falcons.
So it's a home game.
Yes. So take that into your handicap.
Are we adjusting for that?
I think the market might be adjusting that they're flying Jets into London, but they aren't focused enough on the fact that there's 30 different breeds of Falcons in the area.
And people still aren't listening to the Sharp Side podcast. Give me a break. The Miami Dolphins grabbing 10 on the road at Tampa Bay. The total is at 48. I'll start. So this was me not having a whole lot of size I really like this week, but I still do like the Dolphins, especially getting 10. I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to be without five defensive backs that played week one or something like that. Carlton Davis was just thrown on the IR today. While I'm not sure Jacoby Brissett is the man to take advantage of it, that is still a distinct match of advantage, especially when they have so much speed on the outside. I'm hoping that the offense kind of sets up to allow for a couple more downfield throws than what we've seen. And then on top of that, I just think that the Dolphins have the bodies in the defensive backfield to hang with just outstanding receiving options that Tom Brady has. And I'm not going to call for a Dolphins win by any means, but I think 10 points is just a little too much here. So give me the Dolphins. Also, it's another former Belichick assistant going up against Tom Brady, and I kind of like that matchup.
I'm with you. Flores has schemed well against Brady as well in the past. I think it's too many points. Dolphins, I mean, the key is we're banking on can Brissett take advantage of this injured Buccaneer secondary. And as I was telling Chaz for the podcast, Dolphins are inept at running the ball. So maybe facing a great rush defense in the Bucs, they're just going to completely go away from that game plan and just have a pass heavy approach. I think if they do that, it's going to benefit them, and they will probably keep them within the number. So I'll take the 10 points. I think it's, I just think it's too big of a line. It's also kind of a letdown spot for the Bucs. I mean, that was a most huge hyped game of the year thus far to this point. So I'll lean the Dolphins way.
Do you think this totals? Sorry, I'll get to you in a sec, James. Do you think this totals a little too high? 48.
Yeah, I kind of do. But if you're taking Miami, you're kind of banking on the
fact on points. That, yeah.
Yeah, Brissett's going to be scoring.
All right, James, what do you think?
You guys made a pretty compelling case for an ugly dog. I don't really want any part in this. 10 is a little interesting to me. I think it's a lot of points to be laying after such an emotional spot. And they also have a short week too coming up. They play Philly on Thursday, so it is a potential sandwich spot here. Even with that being said, I think I'm just going to stay away. Sandwich. I don't quite trust the Dolphins enough, especially after last week just getting blown out of home by the Colts. I just think they're not a very good team. 10's probably warranted here. The spot might make me play it, but right now I'm staying away.
All right. Moving down to Washington, D.C., where the Saints are laying 2.5 on the road against the football team. The total is at 43.5. James, I believe you like the Saints, right?
I do.
Care to tell me why?
Yeah, sorry. I was waiting for another part. Yeah, I like the Saints here. I bet at -1. It's now up to 2.5. I still like it. I just think this Washington team is really bad. The fact that they're 2-2 is kind of blows me away, honestly. I mean, you come into the season, that defense is supposed to be lights out. They've just been really bad. Like, even last week, really, really bad. Heineke's been like a bit of a pleasant surprise, but the longer those backups go playing quarterback, the more film comes out, the better coaches can scheme around him. And now he's played quarterback a couple games, including last year's wild card. I just think like his time's coming to an end. I think the Saints are just a better team, better coach team as well. That defense will be ready. I don't think Heineke's going to be able to create plays like he did last week. And then on the other side, I mean, I talk about this Washington defense being bad. I think the Saints offense can do enough, whether it's with Taysom back there running the ball or with Jameis throwing for 150. Honestly, I think 150 gets it done here. I think this can be a pretty low scoring game, but the Saints will win this one.
Austin, what do you think?
I was singing Future's song, Feds Did a Sweep, because the Feds did a sweep on the Washington organization this week. I think it was the strength and conditioning coach. I don't know what he was doing, but definitely FBI came in. Could that be a little distraction for the Washington team? I don't know. That's another narrative.
I actually think I saw that it was isolated just to the employee.
Okay, good. So they'll be good. I'm with James. This Washington secondary absolutely sucks. That's the worst part of this team. Their pass rush has looked better, but still not even close to what it looked coming into the season, what we expected. The Saints O-line is also very solid, so it should negate it, even if it was playing at its top level. But if you're taking the Saints here, James is expecting a low-scoring game, but you really have to ask here, are the Saints going to let Jameis cook? And can Jameis take advantage of the secondary? Because that's how you're going to beat this Washington team. I just think this safe and conservative running game plan to avoid turnovers just kind of plays into Washington's hands. I think if they let Jameis pass the ball more, that they're definitely going to cover the spread. And I just don't know what they're going to come out with. So for that reason, I'm going to pass on the game. I'm still very intrigued by the Saints team. So I'm just going to continue to wait and see. I think that their floor is a lot lower than their ceiling is, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Okay. I mean, like, logically, it has to make sense, but luckily I know what you're talking about. One thing I'd like to add is Brandon Scherff. I don't know if he's going to play this week. He missed practice both Wednesday and Thursday, and he did get what looked like somewhat of a serious injury at the end of last game. He's probably one of the most important offensive linemen and certainly one of the most important offensive guards in football. And then on top of that, I don't know. I think Curtis Samuel played last week, but he's back to not practicing again this week. And there's a couple more offensive weapons out. So I think
Saints should also monitor that Teron Armstead and Eric McCoy also both didn't practice yesterday.
Well, they are out for a little while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Armstead didn't play last week. Neither did Eric McCoy. No, has played all year. Oh. But I don't know. I don't really know what to think about this Saints team. I want to be able to buy into Jameis, but it looks like they're calling Drew Brees plays for Jameis Winston. I don't know if that's the answer. I would like to see them open it up a little bit and like have some more downfield throwing, but they don't necessarily have the personnel to do that, which is an issue. It will be very interesting to see what happens when Michael Thomas comes back in a few weeks.
Is but that week 7 or week 8?
So I think he's eligible to come off week 7, but that's their bye week, so it's going to be week 8 or something like that.
Cool.
But that's just enough to keep me off it. So I would be rooting as a fan. Did we talk Titans-Jags? Was that someone's best bet?
No. Close, though.
Okay. the Titans are traveling to Jacksonville, laying 4.5 on the road. Total is at 48.5. Do we got to talk Urban Meyer or have all the jokes kind of ran itself into the ground?
Twitter's done a number on him.
Should we start making Shelly Urban jokes before they're cool? She tweeted something today. She deleted her Twitter. So yeah, I'll be rolling with Shelly Urban. No. James, what do we like in this game? Is it just all about the distraction?
I mean, I just think the Jaguars suck, but the distraction is just the cherry on top. I bet the Titans minus 3.5. I think we probably all did. Now it's at 4.5. I still don't mind it. I don't know the health right now or the situation of AJ Brown, and
he's playing fully practiced.
Really? Okay. All right. Well, now I really like the Titans. That was the biggest question mark for me. And you talk about the Jags having extra rest and the whole division underdog trend, but I mean, do you really think they were preparing those 4 days they had off?
It doesn't seem like it.
It sure doesn't look like it. I mean, I've heard talks like Urban not flying back home with the team, which is just like, I guess, tradition in the NFL. He went his own way, and then he reconnected on Monday. I don't think they're focused on football right now. It's like, if you're back in the Jags, you have a set of stones on you because you were one of the few. I think a lot of people be on the Titans here, and it's well warranted.
Yeah. I'm for every reason James just said about how bad the Jags are, Titans should dominate this game. Jags rush D is very poor. I think Derrick Henry should be able to dominate. It's also, to play the narrative game, it's kind of hard to believe this defense is going to be playing for Urban and wanting to get right in front of Derrick Henry. I don't know if you guys saw, but there was a video that the Jags broke the huddle in practice this week. And to break the huddle, they said grind. So I think he's lost his locker room. I just want no part of this Jags team. I think 4.5 is short. I still like Tennessee. And they have a look ahead spot to their second home, London, next week. And we all know London's the firing zone. So my guess is they lose this game week, the game next week, and then Urban is going to be canned. It was a good run.
USC.
No.
That's Anthony Lynn's job.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, God.
I mean, we can save that for the college pod. For me, I don't know if Urban Meyer's getting fired all too soon. They seem kind of because if they were going to fire him, they would have fired him this week.
I mean, it's only been 4 games. It's really hard to do that to a rookie head coach.
I don't know. I feel like now the trend is, unless you commit a major crime, then you kind of just get stuck with the coach until the end of the season. Because it's not like the Jags have like this playoff bound team. Like, they're allowed to just kind of suffer through and get the number one pick again.
Yeah, they need more than one number one pick.
That is certainly
true. They need a number one pick at head coach too.
Just as a quick aside, I think right now, if the season ended, the Eagles would have like the third, sixth, and ninth pick in the draft, or like 4, 6, and 9.
Wow.
Yeah. That moves the needle. That moves
because of the Colts
and the Niners, I believe.
Wow.
How are the Niners 9 right now? They're 2-2.
I don't know, James.
Okay, sorry.
Are you questioning his stat?
I mean, you can look it up. I might be wrong. Anyways, sorry. Let's continue. Also, in that game, I lean the over. I just think both defenses are horrendously bad.
That is, yeah, I'm with you there. I also, yeah, I like the over.
It's come down from, I think, 50.5. And I.
That makes no sense.
Is there weather?
I don't. Oh, that's a good question. Austin, you want to look that up real quick?
Hell yeah, I do.
All right, thanks.
8 mile per hour winds, not that bad.
All right. Yeah. I thought Trevor Lawrence looked so good last week. They like kind of opened up the offense for him a little bit. And what I guess is the fourth best defense in football, the Bengals. But
yeah,
I'm not sure I believe that.
Titans won't be able to put pressure on him. I think Lawrence will be able to eat. I'm okay with that. I like that overlook.
Yeah.
And he can give you some turnovers too for touchdowns.
And maybe Trevor Lawrence rushing yards, because he was running the ball quite a bit last week. Lions traveling to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Vikings laying 10. And the total's at 49. I'll start. So I lean the Vikings. Like, gun to my head, I'd probably lay the 10. This is going to be a monster game for Kirk Cousins. I think historically he always does very well against the Lions. It's also a Vikings home game, which is another reason to back him. I don't know. One thing I'll say, the Lions are fighting in every game, so like giving them spreads this big is kind of like it just makes me not want to bet it. But whereas, like, I guess the time to fade them would be last week, where they're only getting 3 points or something on the road. And
sorry, I was just laughing that people took the Lions last week.
I don't have much here. I kind of lean the under. I just think this could be a very slow paced place. I can't talk right now. This could be a very slow paced game where the Vikings are running the ball and doing whatever they want offensively, can kind of control the clock. So James, I'm curious what your thoughts are here.
I lean to the Vikings with you. There's just so many injuries on this Lions in this Lions defense that just makes it like really hard to back them. They do fight though, like you said. Like they almost came back last week, just didn't have enough, built themselves too big of a hole. I think if you do like the Vikings or lean that way, you have to look at the first half. Kirk Cousins, 10 a.m. start at home. If you looked like traditionally, I think it's like a 60%+ bet. And the Heat, I think they come out pretty angry here. Yeah, 10 a.m. That's what I said, right?
Oh, I thought you said just like Minnesota at home or something.
No, 10 a.m. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, once you get those two things going, and they're off a loss, third week in a row at home, I think this is a must-win game for the Vikings. They want to stay in the race. I think they come out and fire early. So Vikings first half around -5, -5.5, I wouldn't hate.
I kind of like that look. I took the Vikings in a teaser leg. At this point, I think the number is just too big to take a spread. The Vikings offense was just a brutal last week, but you have to take into account how good the Browns defense looks. They played against the number one pass rush in the league last week, and now they're facing the 32nd pass rush in the league. So as we've mentioned, the Vikings should be able to get theirs, especially with the banged up Lions defense. Not to mention, Lions also have some injured O-line pieces, and the Vikings have a very strong D-line, and we know how Goff is under pressure. We're going back to the well. We're getting the Jared Goff interception props. Haven't mentioned that in a couple weeks. Also doesn't help that we know how he plays on the road. At 10, I can't really have – I'm impartial. I'd like the tease. I really like that first half look. Here's another one. Anthony Barr is hurt. If he doesn't play, I'll take DeAndre Swift receptions.
I like that.
Yeah, Goff has been known to dump off. If he's under pressure, he's especially going to dump off. And Swift's been like crazy this season. He's been having games where he gets like 6 to 8 receptions. So I like that look.
One thing that it was kind of funny, the fantasy community was up in arms because Dan Campbell said that he's like, we're going to make sure that DeAndre Swift is getting the ball. And then I think Jamal Williams outtouched him by like 9 or 10 touches last week. I think that's kind of like a switch off weeks kind of thing where they're just kind of like whoever is featured in the passing game is just like matchup dependent. So I guess as the season goes on, we'll kind of get more information of where it's good to back this guy for rushing props or receiving props, and then whether it'd be good to back the other one. Denver, the Broncos traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Steelers are a pick at home, and the total is a very low 39.5. I'll start. I might bet the Steelers. And that feels really gross saying that. It was, you know, the funeral music was playing all Sunday afternoon while Big Ben looked absolutely horrendous against the Packers, who do not – the Packers defense is very, very sus to me right now. They don't do a good job of rushing the passer, and secondary is not great, especially with Alexander Hurt, but that's not about this game right now. Regardless if it's the Steelers defense is really good, but Drew Lock might be playing, so that might be a couple turnovers going the other way. And ultimately, I think the Steelers offensive skill position players are so talented that it's really hard. It should be really hard for a banged up Broncos defense to kind of hang with them there. If they can get the ball in space, I think there could be some big plays here. Austin, what do you think about this?
Oh, I have no idea. I really don't. I just think there's too many unknowns with who's at quarterback. I think it's a shame that you took the Steelers because it's just another week that we can't put Big Ben down.
I'm thinking about it. This probably means I will not end up taking the Steelers. Yeah.
I mean, it is a must-win game for the Steelers, and James likes to talk about Tomlin every single week on this podcast. And if Tomlin's so good, they'll win this game. But I just don't think, no matter how good he is, this Steelers offense is so bad. Big Ben is so bad. The way they're scheming 4th down and 8 calls to go 3 yards, it's tough to watch. I want no part of this game. I will not be watching it. That's it.
You know what? Mike Tomlin is good enough to win this game.
Come on.
I bet on a -1. I don't even like it anymore, but just to like listen to more people and just thinking about that Green Bay game. I watched 2 4th downs, 4th and 5, 4th and 6, where he checked down for 1 yard, Big Ben. What are you doing? Like, oh my God. It makes me so angry to think about, because that back door was swinging open. But I do like the Steelers here. this line is saying the Broncos are 2 points better with Drew Lock starting. And that's just not the case here. The Broncos do have an elite defense, but they have a lot of injuries right now at receiver. Frankly, they just lack weapons on offense right now. And against an elite Steelers defense who's kind of underperformed up to this point in the season, I think this is a really good get-right spot for the Steelers. We should see a couple turnovers in this game. It could be a field position type game. Total is 39.5, which is just exceptionally low for an NFL game. I still kind of lean to that under, honestly. But
yeah,
I do think the Steelers win this game.
Melvin Gordon also didn't practice, and they have three offensive linemen banged up.
Ooh.
Jeez.
Maybe a little Broncos.
Maybe Broncos team total under.
Yeah, still, that'll be under 20, won't it? That'd be an ugly 19
and a half, probably both ways.
Don't put yourself through it to put that game on, guys. Watch. That's something else.
Yeah, that's a good call. Actually, the one thing I would look at is if Broncos, this might sound a little weird. I don't really care if either team gets there. If either of them get to 1.5 as a dog, I think I might throw them in the teaser leg.
Teaser. Yeah.
Ah, I like that.
Just like, do you see it being anything like more than a seven point game?
No, I can see more than seven with the Steelers winning because like Lock starts turning the ball over.
Yeah. And then like late in the game.
Yeah. I think the Steelers tease up would be perfect, but
okay.
I think this game runs between 1 and 7 a ton of the time.
All right. Anything else to add, Austin?
No.
All right. Patriots at the Houston Texans. Texans getting 9 at home, and the total is also 39.5.
Another game I hate.
Yep. Don't worry. I feel like they get a little bit better after this. I kind of want to fade the Patriots off that Sunday night where it seemed like the big takeaway was that Mac Jones was outstanding, more so than the Bucs getting the win. That being said, I don't want to back the Texans, even if I do think the number is a bit too big, and it's just purely for my health, and that's all. Plus, it's Belichick versus a rookie quarterback, and we know how he does there. James, what do you think?
Wonderfully stated. I echo the same sentiments and will not be touching this game. Go Patriots for Survivor.
Yeah.
I'll consider touching the Texans.
That's gay, bro.
Patriots O-line is decimated. They have 4 or 5 of them are injured or on the COVID list right now. I just think this is too many points in a letdown spot from last week. I'll take it back. I'm not going to bet this game, but I might pick the Texans. It's just tough. I mean, Davis Mills, I took the Texans last week against the Bills. That was a bad decision. He just doesn't look like he's going to be starting many more games. They looked so bad last week. And as Chaz mentioned, and Belichick against this rookie quarterback should have his way as well. Here's a fun bet. You guys should just bet the under in this game and the Steelers game, and then don't watch it. And they probably will both hit. Because I don't expect many points here either.
Not a bad call. Yeah, let's move on. The Bears at Las Vegas. The Raiders laying 5.5. Total is 44. Austin, will kick it to you to start. What do you think?
It is an intriguing game. I don't really have a play here. I'm intrigued in both defenses. I'm starting to lean to the under. Bears have the 8th rated defense in the NFL and the ability to rush the passer. We saw the Raiders really struggle last week against the 10th rated Chargers defense and their pass rush in particular. I didn't like that the Raiders, once they got Josh Jacobs back last week, started to run the ball more and became more run heavy, and they ran on first and second down, and all of a sudden they weren't letting Carr cook and throw the ball, which is like they were doing the first 3 weeks. And they weren't having the same success. So I don't really know what to think about this Raiders team and how they're scheming if Jacobs is back and in the lineup, because they seem to be at their best when Carr's throwing the ball. I think this Raiders defense is a lot better than the Lions. So I don't see the Bears doing too much on their end as well. Montgomery's hurt, and with the uncertainty of Justin Fields back there, I can't take the Bears as a side. So I'm kind of leaning the under. I just think that I'm not totally impressed with this Raiders offense with what they did last week. And I just respect both defenses. So what do you guys think?
I think I'm most confused about this game more than any other game this week. I just don't know what to do. My gut kind of tells me the Bears, But I think that offense is just so, so, so bad. Fields might get sacked 9 times and they still might cover the spread. I think if you like the Bears, you have to like this under, because I don't think they're going to be scoring at all here. I think you're just counting on that defense. So I think the Bears and the under is kind of correlated. That's kind of my take on the game.
Well, you guys don't have to worry, because instead of going out with his parents after getting a win, he stayed in and watched game film. So he's going to be ready to roll. No, I lean Raiders. I don't hate that look on the under, Austin. I've been so impressed with the Raiders defense so far. And even I know the Chargers kind of did whatever they wanted offensively, but regardless, you could still see them getting a very solid pass rush. And other than like Staley, or I don't know if it's Staley, but like, it was just like the Chargers were just able to find people open, just like really quick at the line of scrimmage. And, I'm still buying into this Raiders offense. I think that it's tough. I don't know who the Bears have to necessarily cover Waller. I guess Roquan Smith it falls to, but even then I think Waller still presents such like a huge matchup problem. And then the Bears are, I think there's like pretty a lot weaker at corner this year than last year. And so I think that with Ruggs and Renfro on the outside, the Raiders might have a matchup advantage there as well. Like you said, though, Jacobs is back and they just run the ball too much. So, and if that happens again, the Raiders might be drawn dead here. I don't know. Interesting game, though. I'm curious to see how it plays out, whether Fields can back up another good performance or if it kind of goes the way it did against the Browns. Speaking of the Browns, they're traveling to LA to take on the Chargers. Chargers laying 2. Total is 47. Austin, why don't you start us off?
Well, I'm going to this game, so I have to have action on it. Yeah, I'm driving up, going excited for this game. As some of you may know, I'm a resident San Diego Charger fan, so I'm excited to not root for Los Angeles Chargers in this game. So I have to find some sort of action. As of now, +2, I think I like Browns teaser leg the most. I'm impressed with this Browns defense. They look very good. They had a real test last week against Minnesota at Minnesota and performed very well. On the other side, the Chargers have faced bottom of the half teams in defensive numbers. So this is going to be a pretty big step up in competition for them. Chargers are off a big time primetime win in a game where they came out with very strong energy to start, where even the Lightning was motivating them. That's tough performance to duplicate, especially with Baltimore on deck next week. But I understand it's not too much of a look ahead because this is a pretty big game. I really want to take the Browns, but their defensive injury report is pretty bad. They got about 10 to 15 guys on it. So I'm just going to have to wait and see on this injury report and hopefully finish taking with the Browns. I think that's why this number has gone the Chargers way, is because this Browns injury report. As of now, I'll take it as a teaser leg. I kind of want to take the over, not necessarily because I like the over. I did just talk about the defense for the last 2 minutes, but I do kind of want the over just because I'm going to the game. So what do you guys think?
I can go. I'm currently deliberating between Chargers and Browns team total under. I think that what's keeping me off the Chargers at the moment is how good the Browns defense has been and how deep they are. But the Chargers offense looked outstanding last week. They were able to do whatever they want against what I think is an upper half defense. And Baker Mayfield is clearly hurt, and he is absolutely going to play this week. And if he's not, like, if he can't get the ball like down the field, then I don't know how it's going to open up the run game for the Browns. I don't know. I think that the Chargers are just going to be able to get like a good enough pass rush to make Baker uncomfortable early, and then that's just kind of going to be that for the Browns. James, what do you think?
Yeah, I could see that happening, but I also really like this Browns CG leg. I think it's my favorite one of the week in a week that actually doesn't have a lot of great legs. I just think these two teams are really even, and I think this is going to be one of those classic games you look at the end of the year and say, wow, this was a joy to watch. I just think these two teams match up really well against each other. I think they're actually like just really even teams. I think 2 might be a little too much here, especially if home field's only worth 2 now. It's got to be less in that stadium as well. You know the Browns fans are coming out.
For sure.
I'll be laughing.
Yeah. I appreciate that, bro. But I think I'll just be teasing them up here. No need to get in on a side.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. Getting 8 points there for a teaser leg, maybe like Browns Cowboys. Or not, if you think the Giants can pull off the upset. Little teaser to our next game of the Giants, who are traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys laying 7, totals at 52. Oh, 52. I bet an over at 49.5. I'll start. I think there's going to be a lot of points here. Daniel Jones has been chucking the ball downfield way more than he has in the past, which I love to see. And his offensive line has been giving him time. And now, like, Saquon Barkley is looking a little bit healthier. He was able to have a pretty solid game last week. And the Cowboys offense is absolutely humming right now. They have the best rushing attack in football at the moment. And Dak Prescott is slowly looking healthier and healthier as the weeks go along. He was able to kind of get out in the pocket and pick up some first downs with his legs, which was good to see. And the Giants secondary has been a little disappointing so far. I think that the Cowboys are going to, or the Cowboys receivers are going to be able to create some space and separation for Dak. And excuse me. And I just think that both teams are going to be able to put up points. So I like the over. I would bet it. If you can find a 51, I would bet that, but 52 is kind of pushing it a bit. Austin, what do you think?
You kind of said everything that I wanted to just about that Giants offense. I've been very impressed. I think they've been very sneaky good. They've had great numbers against solid defenses. I mean, that Saints defense is pretty good for what they did last week. I think Saquon, as you mentioned, he's almost fully healthy and he looks damn good. Some of the moves he was making to end that game definitely had my eyes popping as a Giants money line backer. I just think they're going to be able to get their points, which, as Chaz mentioned, bet the over here. I wish for our listeners, you guys could have under 51, but I still like 52. I think that's a good play. I think the Cowboys are definitely going to be able to get theirs as well. They're unquestionably top three offense in the NFL. They just had a great performance against a pretty solid Panthers D. I just think with both offenses, this number is just a little low, especially when last year, when this game happened in week 5 with Dak Prescott healthy, the total was 52.5. And now we're seeing a lower number when both offenses have improved. It's a good spot. As far as side goes, I want to say the Giants are live. I do like this offense. I like how they played last week. They're feisty. They're fighting in every single game. But if it comes to a track meet and they got to keep up with this Cowboys offense, it's tough to take them because they're going to be able to score. But this Cowboys offense, when they get going, they're special. So I just lean the over the most, like the over the most.
Well, it's a triple like that on the over because I also bet it 50.5. So what could go wrong here? In terms of the side,
don't worry, it's not my best bet. You're fine.
Yeah, that's good news, actually. I forgot about that. So the Giants are 11-2 ATS the last 13 road games. It's like part of my handicap last week. But here's some crazy Daniel Jones home road splits. So he's had 15 home games in his career, completed 62% of his passes, 3,340 yards, 14 TDs, 16 interceptions. And then in 16 away games, 63.5% completion percentage, 3,800 yards, 25 TDs, and 7 INTs. Wow. How crazy is that?
That is wild.
So that's good for the over. That's good for the over.
I don't think this applies to like every over you bet, but I think that if you want to bet some alternate overs, I think it's pretty live in this game because I think this has kind of shootout potential here where I think both offenses can pick up like explosive plays pretty quickly. And I think that like, if you like, as the number gets up, obviously the juice goes up, but I'm curious what you guys think about that.
I think that's a good angle. I mean, we saw this game last year, went into the 60s, and that's with Andy Dalton coming in the second half. I think that's a really good angle.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the same thing happen last week. I think that Carolina Dallas game ended with 64 points. And Carolina's offense is probably pretty on par with this Giants offense. So
I'd also argue that
can certainly happen.
Their defense is better too.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I will say monitor the Giants injury report though. They have 4 wideouts and 1 and their tight end on the injury report.
I do think though, and let me know if I'm wrong. I did Sterling Shepard play last week? And did Slayton play last week? Like they might be getting reinforcements back.
Shepard didn't, but he was a non-participant in practice.
Got it.
Okay. I don't know about Slayton. I think Slayton
played. I think Slayton played, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think I got injured like the first play of the game.
Interesting. All right. San Francisco 49ers traveling to their old home, the Arizona Cardinals, or The Arizona Cardinals, Niners getting 5, total at 50. Trey Lance is Trey Lance starting? Has that been announced yet?
No, but that's I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard Garoppolo's probably out a few weeks.
Do we all like the Niners?
Yes. Yeah.
All righty. I'll start, then I'll let you guys kind of take it from there. I think what we saw from Trey Lance last week was very disappointing. That being said, I think this number was too big of an overcorrection. And I also think that given like a full week of practice under his belt with like actually taking the starter snaps, I think that's going to be huge for both like his confidence and comfortability with everyone else in the offense. There was like a couple overthrows and things of that nature. And I think that's very, very important for an offense that is very largely timing based. There is a question I'd like to ask you guys, but I'll wait till you guys get done. James, why don't you start?
Yeah, I mean, I echo the same sentiments as you. So the look-ahead line in this was a pick with like juice to the Cardinals in this one, but now it's at 5. I mean, you certainly have to upgrade the Cardinals after last week. I agree, but you cannot downgrade the Niners that much. I don't think Garoppolo is playing exceptional football. Yeah, Lance looked a little green last week, but I don't think it's that big of a downgrade, especially when the Cardinals will have very, very limited film on him. I think there's a lot of different things the Niners can do here with limited film. He's certainly more mobile than Jimmy G. He's got a bigger arm. I think he's got much higher upside. There might be some mistakes that could cost you here, but overall, I think I'd rather play him than Jimmy G in this one.
Yeah, I'm looking back at last year's game where the Cardinals were in a must-win spot at the end of their season. And in that game, they only put up 12 points against the Niners. Mm. And in that game, the Cardinals were 6-point favorites. And Beathard, Beathard. Beathard was the starting quarterback for the Niners. And the Niners defense was one of the most decimated of all time. So this line cannot possibly be similar to that with the 49ers relatively full strength. 49ers have also had success against the Cardinals in the past. And not to mention, as Chaz mentioned to begin this, this is a familiar spot. The 49ers were, this was their home game for the whole entire month of December last year because they weren't able to play in Santa Clara. I think this line, as we keep mentioning, is just, it's inflated. It's gone up too much. There's a lot of value here at the plus 5. There were some juicy plus 6s earlier, which I wish I grabbed. I just think the biggest fear here in this game is, can the Niners control Kyler? And I just think with the 49ers solid edge rushers and Fred Warner up the middle, they have the pieces to control them for the most part. So I think 49ers are live here for the upset. And I really like this number at plus 5.
So here's my question. So are you guys at all disappointed with Kyle Shanahan so far? And like, just kind of like what's gone wrong ever since they went to the Super Bowl? Do you think there's like a little bit of like the Doug Peterson effect where they go to the Super Bowl and then like, we just expect like, oh, this is such a great team. And then it's kind of, and obviously injuries play a role, but it's just like kind of like surrounded by disappointment.
Yes, to an extent.
Take it, James. Take it.
Okay. I was going to say yes to an extent. I mean, it's like you said, I mean, every year has been injury riddled since. It's hard to coach teams that well, like when you lose your quarterback every year. And then last year, I mean, literally you name it, they were hurt. That entire defense was out for the year. Yeah, they probably could do more every year, but he certainly has been a little handicapped the last few years. So it's hard to really, really judge him in my mind.
And I think the biggest injury that's hurting them the most has been Mostert. Mostert is one of the quickest running backs in the league and fits really well. I think it fits well in this Niners offense, and it's just been tough for them to adjust. I mean, Sermon finally had a good game last week, but they've been struggling with their run game the past couple of weeks, and that's a huge part of this Niners offense. I think they will figure it out. He schemes the running backs very well, but this is his moment. I mean, if he can game plan Lance, I know it's tough on only 1 week of preparation, but this is his prized possession. If Shanahan can have fun with his new toy here, and I think this is his chance to prove his moment. Because Jimmy G doesn't exactly open up this offense.
No.
Oh, no. Like, a lot of, like, the things that have gone wrong for them this year, and, like, even go to week one, like, you shouldn't be up 20 points and then have it come down to a potentially, like, the Lions got to, what, the 30-yard line and then needed to
turn around downs.
Yeah. Like, that's bad coaching to me. And, like, there's, like, so many, like, mental mistakes on the field where it's, like, it just looks sloppy, and I don't know. he has not been his best this year so far. That's for sure in my mind.
I hear you. But at the same time, like if they don't give, I mean, they gave Rodgers 30 seconds and no timeouts. If they don't come back and win this, if
which I would also argue that's bad coaching. He should be in Jimmy G's ear telling him, take this all the way down the play clock and then go.
I hear you. It's just, it's easier said than done when you need a touchdown. They still at 37 seconds with Packers at no timeouts. You would think that'd be okay. But if they win that game, they're 3-1 right now. And I don't think we're having this conversation.
That's fair, but we are. So, we are. We hit Sunday night. Ooh, last game. Colts, Ravens. Ravens are lane 7 at home and the total is at 46. I don't have much here. I almost bet Lamar to win the MVP today. I think I saw a 25-1. I'm curious what you guys think about that. But
I love it. I love that play.
Yeah.
I think why are we not talking about the Ravens as the best team in the league? If they don't give up a 2-touchdown lead on Monday Night Football to the Raiders, they're the number one team of football. Lamar looks much better at passing. I mean, if Hollywood's not dropping passes there, I love that deep ball game that they have now. It's opened it up so they're not so dependent on just their running ability. I think we're still seeing a Ravens team that's underrated. At -7 here, I'm all over the Ravens. I think Wentz, I still don't trust him. I was impressed with their win last week against Miami in a must-win game. But he doesn't – if he has to go score for score against his Ravens team, it's just not going to happen. I think that Lamar ticket's great. I'm going to actually write that down to bet it as well.
I'll text you where I found it. James, what do you think?
I'm perplexed. I want to bet the Colts, and I don't know why. I don't like them. I don't think they're a good team, but
I kind of agree. The number feels gut, big.
My gut just says they actually fight here and keep this really close. So I don't want the button from Austin. I don't want to bet this against him at this moment, but it just feels fishy to me. And like, I don't really have like anything else to say. The Colts were impressive last week, I guess. So were the Ravens. So
I do agree, Austin. I think the Ravens are kind of getting a little underrated. I'm trying to force myself to keep this in mind that I feel like they've been doing this to us the past few years. At least they've been doing this to me, where they look outstanding early in the season, because it's like partially, I feel like it's like a conditioning thing where they just smash the ball down your throat and like they're able to just impose their will on like other defenses. But I don't know. Like, I think that the Wink Martindale defense could present some horrible, horrible, horrible just seeing ghost scenarios for Carson Wentz, which that could certainly turn this into a 33-7 Ravens win. On the flip side, I think that the Colts are a little bit better than what the market views them right now, which is weird to say because I do think they suck. But I don't know. I'm very split on this game. It'll be a coin flip come Monday night.
Nothing like Carson Wentz in prime time. Oof, I'm fine with fading him there.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. Anything else? I guess that's it. We'll do this before we go. Quick Super Bowl prediction right now. Austin, you go first.
Oh man, Ravens. As I mentioned, I think Ravens are the best team in the.
Okay.
I don't know. That's hot. Go Ravens. Ravens are going to win the AFC. And for the NFC, my Tampa Bay Bucks.
James.
Oh.
That's brutal spot, bro.
Yeah.
No, I'm aware.
Rams. Bills.
Reasonable.
No, Rams Chiefs.
Can I ponder a question since we're talking about this?
Yeah.
So this NFC West is loaded. Like all four of these teams are very close together. And as we just argued how close the worst team is, the Niners, to the top team, the Cardinals, we'd think that spreads too high. The NFC West is just going to keep beating each other. That chances are the winner of the NFC West is going to be a 4 seed. I mean, I think Green Bay and Tampa are probably 1 and 2, and Dallas's schedule doesn't look too bad. I think Dallas
is Green Bay going to be 1 or 2.
They keep winning games.
Their division that's true. Sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. The Cowboys do not look that bad.
I don't. I think Dallas is the 3 seed, I'm saying, or 2. But okay. That's why I'm arguing that the NFC West, I think they have some of the best teams in their conference. But can they make the Super Bowl being a 4 seed? I don't know.
I'm going to So for my prediction right now, I'm riding with the Browns. I think that if Baker gets healthy, that team is potentially special. And then NFC, I think I'm going Bucks, but I don't know. What? NFC is weird to me. That being said, I think it's important to see how the Cardinals play, because if they get another statement win, that team, I'm fully bought in, beating all of these good teams in their division like that. And I think that, like, that was Cliff's first very, very big win. And so, like, maybe this was a sign that, you know, the page is turning and he's improved of sorts. But that roster is incredibly talented, and I would like to try and buy in as early as I can. I do have them to win their division, but getting in on a Super Bowl ticket would be pretty fun. So anything else to add? We good to go.
Good to go.
All righty. College pod, and we'll be dropping either before or after this if you're listening to this. So go check that out. Follow us at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter. And go download the BetSports app. Follow our featured page. Apple Podcasts, you know the drill. Rate, review, and subscribe if you have not done that already. And shout out to our guys at Pocket Cast. Greg, you're my man. For Sharpside Podcast, it's fun. NFL Week 5 coming to you soon. I'm excited. Awesome. What are we doing this weekend?
Let's go win some money.
Do it.